meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everybody. Good Monday. What are we in the second week of November?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Happy Monday.
I saw already the Christmas commercials on the radio, and I hear
it's wrong.
You know,
oh,
it's
there
just
are
wrong.
Christmas
It's wrong.
Oh,
yeah. I'm sorry.
Let
the music's
it come.
Not on there yet, is it?
I don't know.
Not on 93.9.
I don't
Christmas
know.
All day, all the time. No, it's not yet.
No, not yet.
I've heard some commercials already. You know, wow. So.
You go to the stores and it's all Christmas.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay with me because it goes so fast.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
You know. Anyway, how are you? How are you all doing?
In attendance.
Great.
Yes.
In attendance.
We're here.
Present.
Well, I'm Father Anthony. I'm your brother.
Yes, you are.
And I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. And as always, we're coming to you from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy here at St. Stanislaus Kostka. And on this, the second week of November, we're getting ready for winter. I mean, really a big winter.
That's what they're saying this week.
That's what they're saying, you know.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Let it take it
as it comes. As long as there's no snow, right? No snow. There's no snow in the forecast, is there?
No.
Not for right now.
No. But it'll come.
For right now.
It'll come. So, anyway, we've had a whirlwind of a weekend. I have, at least. So I don't know about yous. I don't know about you guys, but
Three Stooges are back.
Yeah, we didn't miss you on Friday, you know, to be honest. You know,
I was on a mini vacation.
Beginning Friday, through the weekend. So you were out of the picture completely.
I was completely out of the picture. Yeah. Completely. I didn't exist.
Except for some at Jewel or
Jewel.
That's another story.
Right. That's a different story.
So, Tony, it was a nice meeting Saturday.
You know what?
What do you think?
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
While Christine was having a good time alone or, you know, away from everything, you and I were pretty much.
Right.
So, yeah.
We had our second men's meeting, you know. But more guys are coming, and it was. It was kind of nice. It started, because I was, I had had a,
busy.
What did I say, busy yeah. whirlwind of a day. It was one of these discombobulating days, days, because it went, it started Friday, and then it went through Saturday, and went through Sunday, and so that the men's meeting was a little bit of a respite, in a sense, a little bit of a rest, because I went in, and I kept saying, I'm talking, but I don't know what I'm saying. And it's like what I do on the radio. This is how I do the radio. But all over the place. But really, and a nice group of guys, isn't it, really? And Michael made his teriyaki. I was trying to tell Christina this morning what that is. What was that?
Teriyaki. I forget.
It was teriyaki chicken.
I think it was. No, it was chicken, he said.
Was it chicken?
Because he offered me, and I couldn't. Yeah.
That's right. You're not a.
He said, Tony, you got to have some. And I felt really bad because I don't eat chicken.
So. Yeah. Did you tell him, though, that
I told him I don't eat chicken.
A veg?
Yeah.
What do they call it? A
vegetarian.
Vegan, or what do they say? Vegetarian?
Vegan.
Well, you missed out. It was really good.
I know. That's
and the chicken was good.
And he was saying, you know, that this is. The teriyaki sauce is, you don't buy it. He makes his own teriyaki sauce.
Wow.
I don't know what teriyaki is. Do you know what teriyaki is, Geraldine?
It always sounds Japanese to me.
Well, it is.
Is it? Okay.
I'm sure it is.
I don't know what it is.
I guess it must be a kind of maybe soy sauce.
Soy sauce, probably.
I don't know, but it was absolutely delicious. But it was nice. We had a nice conversation. Mm-hmm. It was, I forgot what we talked about, but it was...
that was very nice.
It was kind of nice.
But Father, when you left, we carried on.
Did you? How long did you guys go?
We were probably maybe an hour after you left.
Good. I'm glad. So I'm glad. Because I didn't want to think that I was the center of the...
No, no. Father, you never are.
No, never,
I walk
Father,
away
never.
And everybody leaves, you know. The star of the show is... No, I'm just joking, you know. I was saying that this morning about some things and just trying to be funny, you know. It's a... But anyway, so you guys went on, didn't you? You said another date for another meeting and all that, did
we'll
you?
Be on the 22nd. We'll have our...
Yeah. Are you guys going to look at the Catholicism?
Yeah.
I gave it to Justin.
He's going to take a look at
Father Barron's,
thinking about going every, it's hour really, or two.
You guys have seen that, haven't you? Even those of you who are listening out there, I should bring you into the story, right? Into the program. But so we're going to... Watch I think it's 10 different
hours.
It's like a series
on Catholic. It's called Catholicism. Father Robert Barron.
It was on. We were talking about it. Channel 11 had it.
Right.
Had four of them.
Did they have four of them?
They only had four.
Have you seen all 10?
Yes.
Yeah, they're very good, aren't they?
They are very good.
My family actually did. What's Nick got over there? What are you doing?
Having my lunch because I got a busy day ahead of me, and it's my mom's.
Can't hear you.
Hang on.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
No,
it's not working.
Nick.
No.
Okay. Anyway,
he's got technical difference.
Maybe is it coming through the radio, though?
It's not.
I don't know. I'm not so sure. Can you hear me right now?
Anyway, Nick, whatever. I can't hear you from this end for some reason. We have to check that out.
Work those technical differences.
Try it now.
Can you hear me now?
Good. Okay, so what's going on there? What are you doing?
Well, hearing everybody talk about food, I'm making my lunch for today because it's a busy day, and also it's my mom's jambalaya.
That sounds good. Now you're making me hungry.
It's really addictive.
It's like reheated, so yeah. Looking forward to having that.
Fantastic, good. And you had a nice weekend, Nick, I'm assuming.
Christina
is spitting water right now.
I told Jerry when I walked in here that I feel like Charlie Brown, meaning I know I feel depressed. I know I should feel happy, but I'm not.
Yeah.
You got to talk to Christina. She took care of me this morning. I felt depressed.
Well, for one thing, my friends Rachel and Mikey, who are a married couple, we had a luncheon on Saturday. They're welcoming a little boy into their life.
Baby.
She's pregnant a couple of months along. And other than that, I'm doing all right. The girl I met, we talked things over that I was going out with for a little bit and decided to stay friends. So,
sorry.
That's how it is.
That's the rough part.
That's life.
Friends are good.
More hours with work, too. So, that's always exciting. Yeah. You need, at the same time.
Yeah.
You need to stay away from work, Nick. Need
it's
to live,
bad for
man.
Your health.
Easy said than done.
Yeah. Easy to put food on the table. Well,
sit down and talk to Christina.
There you go. Enjoy. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
As they would say in Polish, smacznego. Mm. Oh, buen provecho. Or what do they say in Italian?
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit. No, that's
French.
That's French. Bon appetit. What do they say in...
Mangia.
Yeah, they do.
Molto
that means
fame.
Eat, eat.
Molto bene.
What do they say? Anyway, whatever.
Va bene.
So today is the feast of St. Leo the Great. The Great Pope. I was trying to... That's why I was flying into the studio, because I wanted to find out where he comes in on the line, and I think he is number. Let me see here, 5th century. Come on. Well, it's really not even important, is it?
Saint
Leo the Great.
Saint Leo the Great.
There were quite a few popes before him, so.
But they weren't great.
Well, they were all a lot of saints. I tell you, those first century popes were. They're all St. Louis. He was the 45th. He was the 45th. I thought he was
earlier
than that.
Oh,
but,
wow.
A great defender of Christ, the identity of Christ. But anyway, so well. Yesterday was the feast of St. John Lateran, the feast of the Lateran Basilica, And we'll talk a little bit about that, perhaps. We had, of course, Father James Hyde and Father Peter West, Father Peter, Father James, and I should have been Father Anthony, Father John, but I'm a Father Anthony. But anyway, to have the Peter, James, and John, but Father Peter, Father James, and Chris Morales, and who else was here? It was just the three of them,
Of them.
So they brought the icon the Black Madonna, Our Lady of Częstochowa. So it was absolutely beautiful, right. By the
That's
way.
It's a beautiful yes. image.
It was beautiful. I didn't expect it was going to be so beautiful and big and heavy.
Yes.
And heavy.
It took 4 men to carry that.
Yeah, so that was part of what made it a whirlwind of a weekend, because it was just, you know, we had other speakers that came to the masses and all that. And then I had a chance, because a father had the mass, 2 of the masses on Sunday, so it gave me a chance to go over to the students, the catechism, the students in the catechism classes, CCD. And it was so nice. They were happy to see me. I was happy to see them. And, you know, it was really, really nice. And it was a busy weekend. We had a beautiful wedding. They had the mariachis sang at the wedding. It was very festive, very festive, very loud.
I'm surprised that they needed mics, because for the most part, mariachis never use mics.
Well, you know, I think because they did sing the Ave Maria.
They did.
And they normally don't. And I think maybe that's a little bit of a deviation from their, you know, the trumpets and the, what is the, you've played with, you've sang with the, with the mariachis
yes.
before.
Yes,
you sang or you sung?
I've sung.
You sung. Did you sing or you sang or you sung?
Sang. It's sang, the same song. Deal.
The mariachis.
With the mariachis.
Because you got a good, strong, deep voice.
When I don't have the
You're
the
a baritone. She's a baritone.
I could be a what? In the men's? I could be a men's tenor.
Tenor, yeah. It's very nice.
For women,
very rich.
It's alto.
For an alto, yes.
I'm in alto in the women's range.
But it's a rich... I would say
told
rich.
You I have a guy's voice.
Yeah, well, I don't mean that. I'm trying to be funny when I said baritone, but that's like I was talking about the money last night at the mass, and I said to the people, you know, we were talking about our situation, financial situation, that, you know, we got to think about that, you know. People sometimes put in the collection basket the same thing they put in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years ago, and we need to take a good look at that, you know. And I said, I don't know how many different ways I have to explain. You know, try to be very nice about it, you know, and remind them that George Washington wasn't a Catholic, you know, that he has no place in the church, you know. Not that we want to boot him out, but, you know, you get the point, right? The dollar bill, a little bit more than a dollar.
Yeah.
But anyway, so at the end of the mass, when Maria Guzman was making the, doing the announcements, you know, she reiterated some of the stuff that I said, and she said, you know, if you could just take, just give 1 hour of your wage, you know, if you make $15 an hour, then let that be your contribution on Sunday. That would significantly increase the Sunday collection.
Yes. Oh yes.
I said no. I said no. We don't want one. We want it all. We want it all. Not just an hour. We want it all. So. But anyway, it was kind of fun.
But even like when you go to the dollar store, you don't get anything for a dollar these days.
Yeah, why do they call it a dollar store? There's
because that's how it started out.
That's how it started.
Now it's more like a $5
store. $5 store.
Whatever. So anyway. Okay, so where do we want to go today? The feast of the feast of
the Lateran.
The Lateran. So, yeah, people don't realize this, because when you think of when we speak of the Mother Church or the Pope's Church, right? The Pope's Church. What do we think automatically? St. Peter's. Everybody thinks automatically St. Peter's, but it really isn't. Mm-hmm. It's St. John Lateran, named after both St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist. It is the cathedral of Rome. It's the mother church of the mother diocese of the world, because Rome is the mother diocese of the world, and St. John Lateran, because it's built on the Lateran Hill, it's unofficially called St. John Lateran, holds the chair of the Bishop of Rome. And so the new Pope is not fully installed until he takes possession of St. John Lateran and sits in the chair of Rome. So, for your information. So we sell in celebrating the, and that's a mother, so this is a mother church of the churches, that would be the mother church of the churches. Not that it was the first church that was built. In fact, I think in Rome, I'm trying to remember the first church, one of them was certainly Santa Maria in Trastevere, just right off the, just very close to the Tiber River. But that was one of the first churches. I don't remember, because I did a little bit of a study of that once, but I don't remember. But that was that. She certainly that church was one of the first among the first. Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Because you've visited, you've been to a lot of those different churches there, haven't
right,
you?
Right, but I don't know.
And there's so many.
Oh,
there's
so many, and they're so many. Beautiful.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful. Now, actually, St. John Lateran, when my family was there, you know, we that was one of the last churches we went to. I mean, you just walk the streets of Rome, and you can, you know, in one block, you can visit three or four churches,
yes.
right? But I counted the number of churches, because we have the tradition on Holy Thursday, after the Holy Thursday Mass, where Jesus instituted the Holy Eucharist and instituted the priesthood. It was the eve of his death. It was from there that he went down to the Garden of Gethsemane after having instituted the Holy Eucharist, after the Last Supper, gave his farewell discourse, his high priestly prayer, and then he led the apostles down to the Garden of Gethsemane, all but Judas Iscariot, who was at that point was in preparations for the betrayal. He betrayed Jesus with a kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane. But in any case, we have a tradition, because if you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he took all the apostles down there, but he took Peter, James, and John deeper into the garden, and he wanted them to wait with him, to be with him, because he was going through this agony. He was basically, it was at this time that he uttered his definitive yes, his fiat, right, to do what he came to do, and that is obedience to the Father, that he would give his life in atonement for sin, in expiation for sin. And so he suffers the agony in the garden, as we call it, the agony in the garden. He sweat blood, you know, and but he wanted Peter, James, and John to stay with him. But you get a real sense, right, that they really didn't understand, did they? They really couldn't comprehend, because they had just had the Last Supper. He had instituted the Eucharist, gave this beautiful farewell discourse, the beautiful prayer to the Father in John's Gospel, as recorded in the Gospel of John, and you'd think that they would have some sense, right? Because he even said at the Last Supper that one of you will betray me. And, of course, they're all, you know, curious to know who. So they're all looking to John, right? Whispering. Finally gets to John. You can picture them. What is that game they play, you know?
Telephone.
Telephone?
Yeah.
Where you whisper to
pass it to somebody else. Yeah. So it comes out all distorted.
Exactly. So you can. So it eventually got to John, who was seated next to Jesus. You know, ask him who is it, and he said, of course, the one who dips the bread into the dish.
Mm-hmm. Where they were saying, "Is it I?"
Is it I? Yeah. Is it I? And the gospel says, "What's beautiful? I mean, beautiful. It's." Part of the imagery is so powerful. It's really tragic, but it's but the imagery is very, very telling, because the gospel says, because when Judas then dipped the bread in the oil in the dish, the gospel said, and then Satan went into him, and it was night.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, and Satan went into him. And it was night. You know, there's just something very, very, that's a powerful, powerful image. And then he went, Jesus said, go and do what you have to do, right? And he went, and then he shows up again in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he betrays Jesus with a kiss. And then Jesus is arrested by the temple guard, and he's taken up to the house of Caiaphas, where he's interrogated and imprisoned, basically, in a cell. Before early in the morning, when he's turned over to Pontius Pilate, you know, and of course we all know the story. But anyway, what was the point that I was going to make? What his purpose for? What was it?
You were talking about the different
churches.
So Jesus says, you know, stay with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. Peter, James, and John they slept, and Jesus came back to them twice, I think it was, and he says, you know, he found them sleeping. He wanted them to be with him, for them to be with him, and they slept. And so he said, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. But he says, could you not have stayed with me for an hour, right? Just kept me comfort. Be a source of consolation or solace to me for an hour. Well, thank God the gospel says that the Father sent the angels to wait on him, mm-hmm. right, to be his comfort. But he still sweat blood. So that tells you something about the depth of the suffering, because we would say that at that point he begins to pull sin into himself. He takes mm-hmm. sin mm-hmm. into himself, something we'll never be able to comprehend. In any case, that's become part of the tradition of the church, is that after Holy Thursday, we would stay with him for an hour, or at least, you know, it's by tradition we visit the churches. Mm-hmm. And certainly that's a big tradition here in Chicago, but it's a tradition all over the Catholic world. And I went to the Pope's Mass. It was at St. John Lateran, where he celebrated the Mass of Holy Thursday. That's where the Pope always celebrates the Mass of Holy Thursday. And then on Good Friday, the Good Friday liturgy is celebrated at St. Peter's, I believe, but they have the Stations of the Cross at the Colosseum, mm-hmm. at the Colosseum. And then, of course, Holy Saturday is at the Basilica of St. Peter, but it begins at the Basilica of St. John Lateran. And so after the Mass, I had to walk back to my apartment, which was about a 45-minute walk from St. John Lateran to St. Peter's. So I didn't live at St. Peter's, but my apartment was just about two blocks just north of St. Peter's. I could see out at the kitchen. I had this beautiful kitchen balcony.
Yeah.
That overlooked the Dome of St. Peter. It was mm-hmm. just an incredible sight, incredible place to be. And but anyway, so I made the walk, but I counted, I think, 26 different churches I entered.
Wow.
26 churches yeah. I passed in yeah. just in that. And if you know how the Rome is, mm-hmm. there's no rhyme or reason to how those streets are. If I had turned down I could have probably easily gone into 100 different churches.
Yeah.
But just taking there's no straight route, but the route that I took, I passed 20, I think it was about 26 churches, mm-hmm. and I stopped in every one of them, all of them. It was incredible. But anyway, so yesterday we celebrate. But it's not so much the celebration of the building of the church, but it's the celebration of the body of Christ, right? Yeah. That the church, first of all, it's a celebration of Christ Jesus, who is the new Jerusalem, right? He's the temple of his body that cannot be destroyed, having risen from the dead. Because if you remember the gospel for yesterday, it was chosen by the church always for this feast day, the gospel of St. John, and the Passover of the Jews was near. And Jesus went up. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a break and then we'll come back to that, because we're about to, or well, beyond our point where we're supposed to make a break. So we'll come back and we'll look at that gospel and talk about a little bit of the feast. And then, and some of the interesting controversy, it seems, you know, in the church right now, and try to clarify some of that, because there's so much, you know, where is the church going? I mean, who is the Pope? I mean, we talked a little bit about that last week, but I read a few commentaries that were quite interesting, you know. So, and it's related to this too, the whole nature of the church and how the Lord works in and through the church, his body, that we call it, the mystical body of Christ. All right, it's not a building, but it's the people, right? Mm-hmm. It's the people. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to the Listener Supported Winds of Change, and AM 750 WNDZ.
Everything we think we know about our universe is wrong.
There is a crisis in cosmology.
This is the moment of truth.
All these things are rather strange, and we don't know why they're occurring right now.
We are in a special place. I do believe that the universe was created by God.
It's an exciting time for cosmology because everything has changed.
This idea that we're not in any special place in the universe, there's something wrong with that.
So they send out this satellite and they find out these temperature disturbances throughout the universe were all pointing to the Earth.
When I see how barren the other planets are and how bountiful the Earth is, something's different and we're in just the right spot.
We seem to find ourselves in a part of the universe that is perfectly tuned for life.
Life is extremely rare, and that we are in fact the only life in our entire universe. Now I actually think we're very significant.
The Earth is a very special place, no two ways about it.
This Wednesday, Father Tom Coyes talks to Richard Delano, the producer of this motion picture, The Principal, on Winds of Change. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to his people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
Welcome back. Okay, we're back.
Can you hear me now?
Boy, this is one of the... I hope this isn't a premonition of the kind of week we're going to have.
No, it's not.
Because I said the weekend for me was really discombobulating. You know what that means, discombobulating?
Helter-skelter.
Whatever. The word sounds so it's felt, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
It's discombobulating. And today I've been... As I flew right into the studio, as happens from time to time, but I mean, I was so busy this morning, as Christina, had to bring all that stuff into your office. It's amazing how things pile up.
It's beautiful.
And I maybe I've mentioned this before, but this is the image that comes to my mind always, so often when I'm around here. If you ever saw the show I Love Lucy, right? And Lucy and Ethel, her...
Her friend,
mm-hmm. best friend, they get a job in a chocolate factory, right?
That's a classic.
And the chocolate is a classic, right? Yes. That chocolate's coming off the conveyor belt or whatever mm-hmm. it is, and they have to wrap it or put it in, and it starts coming so fast. And it's and that's how it feels around here sometimes.
And she couldn't let it drop.
And she started eating them.
Stuffing them
mouth
in everywhere.
No, you know. To do with it.
But that's what happens here. And so, you know, I just...
or like that same father running around like chickens without a head.
Like chickens without a head. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So my office. But I got a lot done this morning. But I had to. I had to get some of this stuff.
That's where shovels come in handy, yes.
Well, you know, like you said, put a fire to it all. But I couldn't do that, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's correspondence and all that. And deadlines have to be met. Yeah. And, you know, you're already beyond those deadlines. And... Because, as I say, in a parish, you don't know what's coming through mm-mm. the door, you know. And when you deal with people, you know, it can be somewhat draining at times, you know. Not that it's a bad thing. It's just unless you think you're dealing with a thing, but you're not. You're dealing with human beings with feelings mm-hmm. who are going through this or that or whatever, you know.
It's extremely time-consuming, and they even come from places other than this parish.
Which
people
is fine.
I know, it is, but it... Yeah. Adds to the bulk of it.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. our doors are open. That's what the thing, you know. So we want them open. So we're here to serve the people. That's the thing. You know? So don't discourage anybody from coming.
It's life.
It's life.
You don't know what's. Yeah. You don't know what to expect. That life is full of surprises.
Right, and we always say we're a cast of characters around here too. Aside from those who come, those who are here,
the three stooges,
beginning with the three of you. Right. And myself included, you know, it's just one of those things. But anyway, so that's the way it's been. And so I'm here, you know, our faithful listeners are probably saying, come on, get to the point. We want to be fed with something, you know. So let's look at the gospel. Okay, get over it. Me, I'm telling myself, get over it. But anyway, so the gospel chosen for the Feast of St. John Lateran, the Passover of the Jews is near, and Jesus, he goes up to Jerusalem, to the holy city. He found in the temple area those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and as well as the money changers seated there. And he made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, spilled the coins of the money changers, and overturned the tables And he was a little bit angry. I mean, he was angry.
Just a little
very,
bit.
Very righteous anger.
I think he was Jerry angry. Well, this gospel always reminds me of Jerry.
Yeah.
I should say that.
Righteous anger.
Well, there's a difference. Yes.
Righteous, okay. You den of thieves. Out of here.
Oh.
So, maybe. I have to think about that, Tony, you know. Yeah. So we'll kind of hard to put the face of Jerry on in print, you know.
Yeah, that I want to.
We're supposed to be icons of the Lord, you know. That's our goal, is to be icons of the Lord.
There are exceptions.
To allow, allow Jesus full possession of our lives, mm-hmm. so that when people see, we want to be able to say, as St. Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but mm-hmm. Christ Jesus who lives in me. By the way, the other night at the meeting with a man, I don't know, so we were, and I thought about this, and I worried about it later, because I said that. I said, you know, well, the reality is that we all, you know, we're all sinners, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, we were talking about the church and the tone, the change of tone. And
I think that came across. I know you were worried about it, too, because I
when sensed... I said, well, you know, that I, okay, so I'm a sinner, too, and I sin. I said, thank God Jesus said that the just man sins seven times a day. So mm-hmm. that at least, you know, okay, I'm not going to say I don't want to say I'm not a just man, because I think I try to live in a just way. Mm-hmm. I try to live in righteousness, right. And I desire mm-hmm. sanctification, because I don't want to get in the way. As I'm on the radio and I'm getting in the way, but I don't want to get in the way. So yes, of course, you know, my prayer, I think, is Tony, your prayer, and Christina, your prayer. I don't know about Geraldine, but I know that
mine too.
You
funny.
Too. You
yes.
Yes. Well, you know, let me get out of the way. You know, don't let me be an impediment, because really, the beauty of God is such that you want to convey to others
yes.
that beauty. So anyway, but I mentioned I sin. Okay, at least seven times a day. And then I thought, well, you know, what people think when they, you know, but I did say not bad, not, you know, right. any kind of grave
sin. Enumerate.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's true. I mean, and I look at that too. We're all trying to, you know, walk that path.
Right.
And mm-hmm. nobody is
perfect.
Better or perfect.
Okay, right? So it's true, though. If you really, really, really think about it, Geraldine, if you really think about it, you know, and you really make a good examination of conscience at the end of the day, which is part of our tradition. You know, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, before I lie down to sleep, lay me down. Oh my! What's that old prayer that we used to pray as children?
Beg my soul, my Lord, my soul to
now
keep.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I beg the Lord my soul to keep.
If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I haven't prayed that in a long time. My prayer is a bit more sophisticated now. It's not like
well,
that.
Yours would be, yes.
Right, exactly right.
I don't even know that prayer. I never
yeah,
learned
we,
it.
Oh, we yeah. were all, that was one of the first prayers we were taught as mm-hmm. children. Maybe you were taught something in Spanish.
In Spanish.
In Espanol. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in any case, so if we really were to examine our conscience, I think we would be able to say, yeah, at least seven times.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it would be sins of omission. Mm-hmm. I think one of the big things is, for myself, and although I wouldn't consider myself a lazy person, but I find that I get, there's a point where I can't, I was saying the other, and this was part of the problem over the weekend, you don't want to think, but you've got to think, because you got to prepare this, you got to mm-hmm. go here, you got, and it's just like, no, I got to shut my mind down, but I can't shut my mind down, because there's work that has to be done, right? So anyway, but at the end of the day, yeah, seven times. So Jesus, okay, so we're talking about righteous anger, not our mm-hmm. self-righteous anger, but his righteous anger. He went in, he was angry,
yeah.
and he upturned those tables. He says, take this out. He's take it all out of here. Take it out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace. And his disciples, when they heard that, they remembered the words of Scripture. And this would be the Old Testament, right? Because there was no, Jesus was the living gospel. The Scripture hadn't been written. And they recall what the Scripture, as the disciples heard this, they saw his anger, this righteous anger, mm-hmm. and he cracks the whip.
Yeah.
You know, that's the old saying comes from that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he upturns those tables, and they recall what was written in Scripture, that zeal for your house will consume me. And to this, the Jews answered and said to him, you know, what sign can you show us for doing this? What gives you the authority to do this? And Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And he's referring to himself, right? Because this is mm-hmm. God in the flesh. And they said, but this temple has been under construction. They're referring to the temple
right.
has been under construction for 46 years, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? But he was, again, speaking about the temple of his body. And therefore, when he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. And indeed, you know, 70 A.D., not too long after Jesus suffered, died, was buried, rose from the dead, confers the Holy Spirit upon the church. It wasn't too long after that that indeed the temple was destroyed, because there was no need no longer for the priesthood, at mm-hmm. least as the Old Testament priesthood, because all this was a prefiguration, a preparation for the supreme high priest, the only priest, and that is Jesus. And the only sacrifice, which is the offering of his body, right, that he would atone for our sins, so that even as a priest, a ministerial priest, my priesthood is lived and exercised in the priesthood of Christ. And that would be said also of all the baptized share in the priesthood of Christ Jesus. So this is the gospel that we had for the feast of St. John Lateran, that the church is, and again, you can't separate the head from the body. As Jesus said, I am the head, you are the body. He is the bridegroom, the church is the bride, to become one. So if they see you, they see me, Jesus says. If they've seen you, they've seen me. If they've seen me, they see you. So our celebration of the feast of St. John Lateran is the feast of the church. In essence, you can say mm-hmm. it's the feast of the church. The church is born when, on the cross, Jesus, having suffered death, the lance was thrust through his side into his heart, and the blood and the water gushed forth. In other words, he gives his life to the church. You know, there's these basic images. I mean, it all refers to the same. The water and the blood, when he breathed his last, right? He breathed his last. He breathed life into the body, the church, the people. On Pentecost, you know, together with in the company of the Mother of God, Mary, most holy, the apostles, 9 days of prayer in the Novena of Prayer, the Spirit is conferred upon the apostles and the Blessed Mother. She's already imbued with the Spirit of God. She's a spouse of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But the church is born and immediately begins its mission. So having said that, you know, we'll look at that. But I just want to, before we look at that further, try to break this down a little bit, the church. Are you able to follow me up at mm-hmm, this point?
Yes.
So the church. So we're talking about the church. Now, the building, the edifice is important. Why? Because it's within this sanctuary, within this sacred space, and it is sacred space. We are nourished. We're fed. We're born. You know, we're born through the waters of baptism. We're fed with the hidden manna, the Eucharistic gift. Jesus gives himself, his body, his blood, soul, and divinity as food for the journey, that we not collapse. We go to Mass. What does Mass mean? But Mass is missio, the mission. We're a people with a mission by virtue of our baptism. And so we come, we congregate. In a sense, we don't use the word congregate so much. That's more of a Protestant, mm-hmm. the sacred assembly. We gather in sacred assembly, the mystical body of Christ, to be fed with the Word of God, and then to offer our lives in the holy sacrifice of the Mass in order to be then invited to the table of the banquet. The supper of the Lamb, as the book of Revelation speaks of the supper of the Lamb of God, who gives himself. Isn't it a beautiful thing? He throws the feast, right, mm-hmm. only to give himself as the food for the journey, that we not collapse, that we be sustained, and that we be truly a people in mission, missio, the Mass, a people in mission. Okay, in any case, so one of the things that's happening at this time, if you've been, I don't know how much people follow the religious, but it's not just really, you read the secular press. I mean, there was a big article yesterday. I forgot where it was, but it spoke about the tension. You know, the honeymoon is over. You know, the bishops in relation to the Pope and some bishops and all that. Yeah. And so, saying within the sacred walls of the Vatican, right, that the atmosphere is that of an internal split. This is what you get, and this is what you kind of get from many people, that there's a civil war going on between conservatives and progressives. Others are speaking about continental lobbies. You know, you got the bishops of Latin America, you got the bishops of the West or the United States, maybe the bishops of Western Europe, the bishops of Africa. You know, when you think about the dynamic here, it's just really fascinating. You know, the fact that the church has survived 2,000 years is really the work of God. It's a testimony to the grace of the Spirit. So some people are talking about these continental lobbies as experienced in the Extraordinary Synod, which is a preparation for the Ordinary Synod on marriage and family. In any case, and so bishops are deemed conservative, some are deemed progressive. But and then there's, of course, you know, those who privately call the Pope a more courageous, that we want a Pope more courageous in opening up the church, to the world, make us acceptable, make us lovable, let us befriend the world. And indeed, you know, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save the world. But again, as I say, I mentioned, because I'm repeating what's written in the gospel, the light came into the darkness, but people chose to stay in the dark. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. So there's this very interesting interplay kind of going on there, right? So, But this so-called split, as people are trying to call it a split, should rather be described as one between maybe those who still firmly believe that the church must shape the world, and those who want the church to welcome the world the way it is and just accompany it, comfort it, putting into practice the Pope Francis's vision of a church as a field hospital. So there's that a different way to describe what some people are calling a split. Those who still firmly believe that the church must shape the world, those who think the church should befriend the world. One of the bishops talked about the tension. Those who want to befriend the world as being rather fascinated by the secular world, this fascination with the secular world, and the danger of compromising or caving in, and really the position of the Pope is yet to be assessed and understood. But but Pope Francis has always warned. He's always said, "Watch out for a worldly church." So he's an enigma in that sense, you know, because you know, it's as we were talking Friday, I think, with the other priest here. How easily his words are taken out of context.
Oh, yes.
But what is happening? To what degree is there attention? To what degree are there divisions? Well, there's certainly a discussion. There's certainly a dialogue, and it can be very heated, as we read even in sacred scripture, you know, in the Acts of the Apostles, you know, when the apostles gather, you know, even in the time before the Acts, you know, even as Jesus is among the apostles. But the tensions and the you don't understand, you're not getting it, and all that, Jesus said. But the Pope has warned against. He says, watch for a church that is worldly. You know, in other words, what the Pope it seems to be his goal is to foster a missionary church, an outwardly oriented church, but maintaining, of course, the fixed points in the gospel. And that these points, the gospel teaching, be imbued with a dense popular piety, a true openness to the inner working of the Holy Spirit. So does you get the sense? People are having fun with this a little bit right now. Some people are really disturbed, but you know, this is where we pray. You know, why do we pray every day? We pray in the Mass every day. You hear His name, the name of the Pope. You hear the name of the Bishop Cardinal Francis George. You know, next week it'll be Archbishop Blaise Cupich, right? We'll be mentioning Blaise in the Eucharistic prayer. But it's very interesting. It's very interesting. So we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and let's go back to the Feast of St. John Lateran and talk a little bit about the mystery of the Church and who's the cause of these divisions or these this internal strife. Where's it coming from? All right? So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Everything we think we know about our universe is wrong.
There is a crisis in cosmology.
This is the moment of truth.
All these things are rather strange, and we don't know why they're occurring right now.
We are in a special place. I do believe that the universe was created by God.
It's an exciting time for cosmology because everything has changed.
This idea that we're not in any special place in the universe, there's something wrong with that.
So they send out this satellite and they find out these temperature disturbances throughout the universe were all pointing to the Earth.
When I see how barren the other planets are and how bountiful the Earth is, something's different and we're in just the right spot.
We seem to find ourselves in a part of the universe that is perfectly tuned for life.
Life is extremely rare, and that we are in fact the only life in our entire universe. Now I actually think we're very significant.
The Earth is a very special place, no two ways about it.
This Wednesday, Father Tom Coyes talks to Richard Delano, the producer of this motion picture, The Principal, on Winds of Change. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us on a good, it's a good Monday. It's not a bad Monday.
It's a happy Monday.
I'm beginning to experience myself coming away.
The sun's coming up.
It's always very therapeutic in here.
Combobulation.
It helps a lot.
Yes.
I can use all the help I can get.
We can
see Jerry has that glow now.
She's always got a bit of a glow, so. But anyway, it's because she gets very angry and that the fire
steam rises.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
she cracks that whip. Right?
But speaking of the Feast of John Lateran, so it's really the feast. It's the Pope's true cathedral is not St. Peter's. It's St. John Lateran, and it's interesting, you know, because the Church it's shocking to us, you know, that when you think about it, this I'm taking some thoughts from Monsignor Charles Pope, he's from Washington, I believe, and he's very nice commentary, and he was unpacking this feast day, but he speaks about the shock of the Church, and he says one of the most puzzling aspects of God's approach to reaching us is that God is very subtle. He's very subtle. He doesn't interject himself into the doings of the world with pizzazz. I mean, of course, certainly you can say the resurrection was, but even there, very quiet, very subtle methods that surprise us and even shock us. In trusting his message to the world, Jesus, as people understand, he never wrote a book. Mm-hmm. He left nothing. Physical, related to his person, was left behind, except, you know, he leaves his body and blood under the hidden guise of bread and wine. He taught his disciples, entrusted his teachings specifically to 12 rather than rather ordinary man, one who would betray him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he told them. Again, I think about it, he didn't write anything. They watched him. They listened to him. He instructed them. He gave that final beautiful farewell discourse, and he sent them. And he says, "You go, and you go to the whole, go out into the whole world, and teach, right? Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit." They would celebrate the sacred mysteries, you know, the Holy Eucharist, but the point is that these were ordinary men, and have always been. So what about priests, bishops, or preachers who are unholy, lazy, weak, ineffective? We're shocked by that.
Mm-hmm.
We're shocked by that. And it can frighten us as well, you know. But God can work even through the weak, the sinful, inconsistent human agents to accomplish his mission. I'll give you an example. You know, before I went to the seminary, I was working with somebody, this young lady. We worked together, and she was a very staunch Baptist. Now I was going to my whole, you know.
You were searching.
I was being nurtured, you know, mm-hmm. by God. That Jesus was really working my soul, and so I was, very much deeply immersed in Catholicism and the Church and all that. And so as we would talk, we had these discussions and all that, and she would say something, and I would say something, and I was trying to convince her that the Church wasn't the whore of Babylon or the great beast, as they would say it at those times, you know, and mm-hmm. all these bad things, you know, the Church is this and the Church is that, and I would, you know, talk to her, and no, this is, you know, you're wrong, this is it. So anyway, finally one day she said, "Why have you never invited me to your church?"
Ooh.
I said, "Well, you want to come to Mass?" I said, come to Mass. I said, "This Sunday I'll pick you up and we'll go to Mass." And she came. And I was, you know, hoping that the young priest was going to have the Mass, because he was very good, very dynamic, and good, spoke well and all that. And so and we had this other old priest that was in the parish, and I was praying that he wouldn't have the Mass, you know. And wouldn't you know it, we got there.
It was
we had the Mass. It was the old priest. You could barely hear. He had he had marbles in his mouth. It was just, and through the whole Mass, I'm sitting there thinking, this is embarrassing. This is so sad, so embarrassing. She's going to walk away, and she's going to, you know, you people are really nuts. You're really off the wall. And so I was just fuming inside through the whole Mass, you know. I wanted that priest out of the sanctuary, out of the parish.
But how about choir, Father?
And the choir. Well, the choir
was pretty good, huh?
No, it was not.
Okay. Well, no, so everything was.
Well, I mean, the choir wasn't bad, but it wasn't. My focus wasn't so much the choir, but I remember even thinking, as you know, I wanted the music to be the best, so that she would.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, to make a long story short, so the Mass is over. We're leaving. I didn't want to say anything, and we're walking out the door, and she said, "That was the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced in my life."
Oh, my goodness.
She said that.
Wow. Yes.
And she became a Catholic.
Wow.
"As God is my merciful judge."
Yes. Wow.
She became a Catholic. So she saw something that I couldn't see,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that was the miracle of God's grace.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was the miracle of God's grace.
Yeah, she was deeper. She went deeper.
Well, or at least the Lord hid from her the rough edges. You know, he allowed her to see because how God even works through weakness,
yes.
sinfulness, inconsistent human
yes.
agents. And
that's what I count on.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, don't we all?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Don't we all? So, I mean, at the same time, you know, as the Pope said today at the Vatican, you know, we've got to, because Jesus is very strong, he says, "Anybody who leads a child astray, better than a millstone be put around
mm-hmm.
their neck, they be thrown in the sea and drowned." And the Pope spoke about this. I spoke about it this morning as well. Here too, you know, Jesus is very, very strong in defense of the innocent, in defense of the little flock, the children, the simple believers. And in other words, that we must not give scandal. We must be people who seek not to create scandal. We have to be people of faith, and we have to be forgiving. Those were the three points, you know. And Jesus said, you know, in the gospel, and he says this right from his, taken right from his own lips. He says, don't think you can avoid scandal. He says, it's always going to be with you. It's always going to be there. But we have to be, but the key is we can't lose our sensitivity to God and to all things sacred. We have to be very, very, and this goes back to this, at the end of the day, our examination of conscience. How did I, in the course of the day, how did I live the faith? How did I get in the way? Did I create a scandal? And we're not talking about grave. I mean, certainly if there's been grave scandal, it's because then we've really already separated ourselves mm-hmm. from God. But nonetheless, a person can slip. You know, a person can fall very easily. But so we don't want to lose sensitivity. But the point is that many people today are shocked and they're in horror at sin, weakness within the church. But it's always been, it is, it always will be. Nonetheless, the church recognizes that she is always in need of reform. Mm-hmm. And so it's when we lose sight of that, or we have to call, for instance, speaking of the priests, we have to call priests to authenticity. You know, so we can get lax, just as families get lax, marriages get lax, priests can get lax. So, but the thing is, God has chosen. This is how the Lord has chosen to convey, to reveal himself, but in and through weakness, weak human beings, imperfect human beings. Because none of us is, I mean, the saints, we were talking about this the other night at the men's meeting. I mean, you read from their own writings, and they see, because they have great sensitivity to God, they live in the light of God, they're very much aware of their weaknesses and their sinfulness and their defects and their idiosyncrasies and those things that really get in the way, and they're constantly begging God, Lord, get me, save me for myself, mm-hmm. right? Save me for myself. So in this sense, the shock of the church, you know, and it's very easy, you know, to say, you know, I'm going to shake shake the dust from my feet and go on and I'll start my own church. And that's what people do it all the time, mm-hmm. you know.
Yep.
But that's a grave sin.
Yeah.
It's a grave sin because you don't divide the body of Christ. We'll kind of leave it off. We'll stop there because tomorrow we'll maybe come back to this because there's a few other points as well. The surety of the church, you know, the fact that the church, I mean, Jesus said, I will be with you. The gates of hell shall not prevail. He told Peter, didn't he? He says, Peter, this is after he designates Peter as a head. It's very beautiful. He says, Peter, he says, I pray for you. I pray for you that you strengthen your brothers because you need to know that Satan means to sift you all like wheat, right? So when we talk a little while ago talking about the media speculation as to what's going on, the divisions, you know, in the church and all that, remember those words, mm-hmm. you know? Peter, I pray for you. I pray for you that your faith not falter, that you be strengthened because you need to know that Satan means to sift you all like wheat. You've got to strengthen your brothers. You've got to be, you know, a model for, and of course we know Peter, you know, he puts his foot in his mouth, he fumbles, he stumbles, but he gets up. He gets mm-hmm. up, he perseveres. The key is always perseverance. The church has persevered because God has persevered. God is faithful. Anyway, we're out of time. I hope you're still... I haven't confused you here, have I? I hope not.
No, no.
Anyway, but we'll be back tomorrow. We'll pick up on this, you know, because there's a couple of other interesting points, I think, that need to be understood. All right, everybody, thanks so much for being with us as we begin this new week. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
John.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell of strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time. promise now.